Now, we see here that God creates these two great lights and the stars. And what is the purpose? Look at the end of verse 14. It says, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Okay? Now, we know, of course, that the seasons are because of the earth's tilt on its axis, the sun, the rays from the sun come at different angles in different parts of the world at different times of year, which creates the seasons. That's why when we have winter in Arizona, they're having summer down in the southern hemisphere. So in South Africa, they have a summer Christmas. They don't have a snowy Christmas. They have a summer Christmas. And so it's the opposite because of that. So that makes sense when the Bible says, let them be for seasons. And then he says for days, because of course we know that the earth rotating on its axis one time, that's a day. And then we know that one revolution around the sun is a year. So we can understand, okay, I see how the sun and the moon and the stars are for seasons and for days and years. But it also says, let them be for signs. Signs. Now, when you think of a sign that would be associated with, you know, the sun, moon, and stars, one thing, we could take this several directions. We could think about several different things. But one thing we could think about is an eclipse, you know, that people have looked at that as a sign in many points in history. And also, you know, the Bible talks about in the end times, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And of course, you know, when the sun is eclipsed, it turns into darkness. And when the moon is eclipsed, it turns bright red as blood. But of course, those two things can never happen at the same time, not even on the same day, because one of them happens during a new moon, one of them happens during a full moon. So they can't happen at the same time. But so obviously that's a miraculous thing in the end times. There's something special going on there. But the point is, when we think of signs, we think of an eclipse. But let me just tell you something really interesting about the moon, okay? And this is something that science can't explain. Science would just say, this is a great coincidence. And it really is a remarkable coincidence when you think about it, that the sun and the moon are the same size in the sky. Sun and the moon, from our perspective looking at it, they appear the same size in the sky. And that's how an eclipse of the sun can even work. Because, you know, if the moon were appearing much smaller than the sun, then it couldn't eclipse the sun. And it doesn't eclipse the sun by a lot, because in fact, sometimes you'll get what's called an annular eclipse, where basically the sun will be covered by the moon, but there'll just be a little ring of the sun visible right around the edges. So sometimes it doesn't quite cover it all the way. Other times it does cover it all the way. That's a total solar eclipse. But isn't it interesting that the sun and the moon end up being just right on the exact same size? And there's no scientific reason why that would be. Because if you think about it, the sun is so much bigger than the earth. I mean, the sun is like, you know, 1,000 times the size of the earth or something. And then the moon is like 1/6 of the size. So, you know, there's a huge difference between the size of the moon and the sun. I mean, the moon is way smaller than the sun. But yet the moon is just the right distance from earth, and the sun is just the right distance from the earth, where these two objects that are so dramatically different in size end up looking the same size to make this perfect sign of a solar eclipse. Isn't that interesting? All the marvels of the coincidences of Mother Nature. No, it's not a coincidence. God created it that way. And it's something that is unexplained. From a scientific perspective, they would just say it's a coincidence. But it's a pretty remarkable coincidence. I mean, what are the chances? So let's keep going here. And let me stop and say one more thing here, actually, before we keep going. This thing of how is the sun being created on the fourth day when the earth is created on the first day? You know, people have a big problem with this. They choke on this. We talked about this a little bit earlier. The flat earthers will flip out about this, or the geocentrists. And let me just say this. Geocentricity is false. And it's been thoroughly debunked for well over 300 years now. So it's kind of silly when people in the 21st century want to go back to geocentricity when it's been proven beyond any shadow of a doubt to be wrong literally 350 years ago, let alone with all the technology and the knowledge that we have right now. But they're just like, well, how in the world, you know, could Earth be created on day one if the sun's created on day four, you know, if the Earth goes around the sun and so forth? This presents no issue There's no issue here. Because God can create things in any order that he wants. So God can create the earth, and then later he can create the sun, and the earth goes around the sun. And, you know, here's an illustration that I like to use to explain this. Let's say I were writing a book, a series of books, right? And in this series of books, book one, I chronicle the exploits of a certain Daniel Writer, okay? So I create a fictional character out of my imagination called Daniel Writer in book one of the series. Then, you know, I write book one, I write book two, I write book three. Then I get to book four, and in book four, we're introduced to Daniel's parents. Now, let me ask this. Did Daniel's parents exist when I wrote book one? No. Did Daniel's parents exist when I wrote book two? No. Daniel's parents came into existence on book four. But yet, he is the product of his parents. So how does that work, right? Well, it's the same way. You know, God can create things in any order when he creates the earth, and then he creates a relationship there where basically the earth is subservient to the sun, and where the sun is, in a sense, the progenitor of the earth, even though he created the earth first. There's no issue. Any issue here is just in somebody's imagination. And so God can create things in whatever order he wants, and that's what he did.